5:04 on a Wednesday afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia. 1240 in Roanoke, 93.3, 1320 in Lynchburg, 730 Southside, and 1350 in beautiful Bedford, Virginia. Folks, welcome to the show. We got a dandy coming your way here today on the Sports Line. David Teal, Newport News, Daily Press. Great columnist is going to drop by, and we'll touch on a number of different topics with David Teal, including the new gambling allowance, for lack of a better word, that's been cleared by the Supreme Court. But we'll also dive into some UVA and tech stuff, including the sit-down that many reporters had with new athletic director Carla Williams up in Charlottesville. And we'll get David's thoughts on the direction she's planning on taking the athletic program, as well as much, much more. Doc Emmerich also will join us. Great hockey announcer for NBC, doing the Cap series, and we'll get his thoughts on whether or not the Caps have finally turned the corner. Have they? Are they over the hump? Should we not worry about them?
I'm not saying they are yet. Took a big step by beating the Penguins.
Yes.
And they were up 2-0 against the Lightning, then lost last night.
Well, it's been a really, really wacky postseason. I guess I should say not offseason, but postseason for home teams in the NHL. Because visitors have won considerably more games than most people would think. And that's certainly true in this Caps Lightning series, as the road team has won every game so far. Tell me about home ice advantage.
I don't know if it ever means that much in hockey. We've seen 8 seeds win championships back when they had the old Stanley Cup format. Now they've obviously changed it and done some quirky little crossovers and playing divisional matchups in the first couple of rounds and trying to do as much of that as possible. But you know, before then, you could see teams barely make the playoffs, get hot, and voila, there they are in the championship. Stanley Cup final team.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with, you're right, I mean, getting hot and specifically having a hot goalie. You get a hot goaltender, that can make all the difference in the world. So more on that with Doc Emmerich a little bit later on in the show as well. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. Hopefully you, our loyal listeners, know them and know them well. Bass Side Farm, Randolph College, Gano Sausage, Arthur's Jewelry, and Roanoke Valley Harley-Davidson. You were over there today.
Did you say Randolph College?
I did.
That was at the beginning.
Did you not pay attention?
I was trying to remember all of them.
It was second after Bass Side Farm.
Just right want to before, make sure the
and right before Gano Sausage and Arthur's Jewelry, before we rounded out with
Roanoke Valley Harley Davidson, which I was there earlier today, chatting with Jeff, their sales manager. Pretty neat. Has been riding a Harley his entire life, and it's not, you know, my lifespan. He's been going since 16, so decades on Harleys. It was neat. We'll have more on that coming up across our airwaves.
I'll look forward to it. Look forward to it. Do we have David ready to go? Is that right? Yeah. David Teal, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, David Teal, Newport News.
Legendary.
Well, I mean, doesn't Hall of Famer...
Don't get carried away.
I think Hall of Famer encapsulates that, doesn't it? I mean, don't you have to be legendary to be a Hall of Famer? David?
Do I? Oh, goodness, no.
Well, anyone.
I think you just have to be lucky.
That's it, huh?
That's how I look at it.
Well, you're way too modest. Way too modest. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you?
We're good. We're good. Heard your daughter in the background. Is she getting excited for the end of school?
She's mostly excited because her new flamingo bed sheets arrived via UPS this afternoon.
Yes!
Brighten up the room!
Oh, to be young again.
Very young. Oh. But yeah, she's very excited for school to be over and to get into summer camp and art and soccer and all kinds of stuff.
Where do we want to start with David, Ed? I know you wanted to talk about the Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely.
I know that's the direction you want to go. Dive in.
My thought, David, is obviously I'd love to see the Commonwealth of Virginia regulate it. Our friend Aaron McFarling for the Roanoke Times agreed with us yesterday on that. But regardless of where you stand on those issues, this is clearly an opportunity to make money, but one that seems scary for a lot of folks that love college sports. How do you see this unfolding, especially John Swofford, to whom Whit Babcock, I believe, is deferred, and most everyone else in the ACC leading the charge on this?
Well, let's go back to Aaron and the state of Virginia and hoping that Virginia adopts some form of sports betting. That's going to be a long road. Some of my news colleagues who cover the state legislature in Richmond were up there on Monday when the Supreme Court ruling came down, and they were canvassing folks on both sides of the aisle, including a state senator from Portsmouth who's been a long time, Louise Lucas, been a long time advocate of more extensive gaming opportunities here in the Commonwealth. But even she confessed that this will be a very difficult fight. And I don't understand why. I mean, this is a state that just adopted betting on archived videos of horse races. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, you're willing to go there, but you're not willing to bet on the Redskins, the Capitals, and Alabama and Virginia Tech? I mean, it's just preposterous. But I digress. Bigger picture, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out in the individual states, because it clearly the Supreme Court is deferring to states' rights here and just telling them, you decide this as you see fit. And it amuses me to hear, say, Tom McMillan, the former Maryland basketball All-American who runs an association of athletic directors, say 80% of his group is opposed to legalized gambling. Well, this is the same group of athletic directors who seven times, not once, not twice, seven times have gone to Las Vegas for their annual convention and will do so again in 2020 and 2022. And I just, it strikes me as borderline hypocritical. And the notion that all of a sudden athletes are going to be more susceptible to the evils of gambling or to those who would have them shave points or whatever, I think that was going to be more prevalent when there was no regulation than there would be now when there would be government oversight.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, getting the government involved probably has its pluses and minuses. But, you know, from what I've heard across the pond, as they say over in Europe and England, the legalization of sports gambling and the way that they can track things and track bets that are being placed has really allowed them to work with sports agencies and franchises and leagues to help better understand what's going on, especially when some of these illegal or fixing things are going on. I mean, they have a better grasp on it because everything's more trackable.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's how it works in Vegas. And I'll tell you what, I hadn't really thought about this, Rich, until you just mentioned it. across the pond. I was fortunate enough to cover the 2002 Ryder Cup in England. And one day I went over and wrote a column about how there were betting windows at the Ryder Cup. I mean, it was cool. And you know, obviously I've been to racetracks, horse racing tracks here in Virginia and elsewhere, Pimlico and in other tracks in Maryland where there are betting windows, and I didn't see anybody harmed by it, that's for sure. Mm.
DailyPress.com Hall of Fame columnist David Teal with us here on the Sportsline. As it relates on a local level, I know Whit Babcock has been asked about it and has kind of deferred to John Swofford, at least in the statement that was put out a few days ago. Do you expect that to kind of be the position for most of the ACC schools as it relates to how the ACC and NCAA proceed?
Well, I don't really think the ACC can proceed until the states in its so-called footprint decide how this is going to work. And I think it's more of a larger association, i.e. the NCAA matter. Number one, the NCAA, I think, almost certainly will start to play championship events in Vegas. It's just too enticing a destination. Eventually, you're going to see a Final Four there. Eventually, you're going to see the college football playoff national championship game in that brand new facility that they're going to build for the Raiders, and that the Raiders will share with UNLV football. So you can bank on that. And then, as they always say, devil in the details. Who's going to profit from this? How might the NCAA and college sports profit in a way that all of a sudden athletes can get their due from name, image, and likeness? This could clearly be a path toward the NCAA being able to finance what would clearly be a considerable expense.
You know, and we're talking once again with David Teal here on the Sports Line, and we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court striking down the ban on sports wagering across most of the country and leaving it now up to the individual states. And New Jersey, I think, is most ready to pounce on this thing. Yeah. They're saying within 2 weeks, by the time the NBA Finals hit, they'll be ready to go. And other states, certainly like Virginia, much further behind the curve there. But, you know, here's my question, because, you know, David, we hear a lot about, you know, how these leagues are going to make money, and the NFL can cash in on this, and baseball and the NBA and the NCAA. But I heard someone from Vegas talking about the fact that they've tried to do that with sports gambling in Vegas, and Vegas just says no. You know, I mean, we're not sharing our profits with you. And if everybody starts dipping into the kitty, all of a sudden, you know, the 10% VIG that we know, bet 110 to win 100, all of a sudden that goes up maybe exponentially. And yeah, and then where are we at? So I'm wondering, I mean, everybody, it sounds great to say, oh, yeah, we can make money off that. But how realistic is that, really, if right now in Vegas, you know, no one's getting a piece?
Yeah, it's all in the negotiations and who's going to have leverage, and that's what's going to be fascinating to watch. I think you raise an excellent point.
Rich just gloriously gloating over finally doing that.
It's not often that I raise good points, David. I get excited when I do.
Well, chalk this one up, bro.
All right.
Put it on the board, baby.
Yes.
One for the good guy.
I don't know about that. Good guy is a stretch, to say the least. David Teal's a good guy, yes. And he's with us. He's from the Daily Press, dailypress.com. David, as you look back at spring practices for Tech football, Tech basketball, and even the athletic departments as a whole, because you guys are starting to chat with the athletic directors, Commonwealth Clash goes to Virginia Tech for a second year in a row. Is this more of a concern for the work that lies ahead for Carla Williams, a testament to what Whit Babcock is already doing, or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. this has not been a benchmark year for UVA by its very lofty standards. I mean, this is a program that's accustomed to finishing in the top 10 in the Director's Cup National All Sports standings, and is very much unlikely to attain that status this year, while Virginia Tech has an excellent chance to achieve its best ever Director's Cup finish. The Hokies' best is 35th. At last check, I believe they were 20th. A lot of championships still to play out, but Tech could score significantly in men's and women's track at the national level. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, the Commonwealth Clash, the first 2 years, Virginia won it handily. Last year, the Hokies won on a tiebreaker, or rather controversial one, at that, where an appeal at the ACC Track and Field Championships gave the Hokies not only the championship, but that conference championship played into the tiebreaker in the Commonwealth Clash. And then this year, the Hokies won with a little room to spare, thanks in large measure to very rare and unexpected victories over UVA in programs such as men's tennis and women's lacrosse. I mean, Virginia men's tennis had won, what, three or four consecutive national championships. Mm-hmm. But then Coach Brian Boland exits for the USTA. There is a dip in personnel there, and all of a sudden the Cavaliers are a 500 club. So those are the kind of swings that can happen that can change the tide, so to speak, in that Commonwealth Clash.
David Teal, Newport News Daily Press, joining us here on the Sports Line. A few more minutes with him. Tell us about your impressions of Carla Williams. I know she sat down with a bunch of you guys reporters last week, and you know, talked a lot about everything that's going on at UVA, but she spent a lot of time talking about the football program and what needs to be done for it to be competitive. In the sense that Virginia fans and certainly the administration wants it to be. I know she's very high on Bronco Mendenhall and, you know, what he's doing, but she's like, hey, he needs some help. What were your thoughts of that conversation? What really stood out?
Well, I'll expand in a minute, but in a word, sharp. Very sharp. Carla Williams gets it, guys. She worked at Georgia for a long time. She was an athlete at Georgia. She was an administrator at Florida State when the Seminoles won a national championship under Bobby Bowden. She knows what big-time college football looks like and what it requires, and I think she's willing to do it. Now, that's not to say that her predecessor, Craig Littlepage, was unwilling. I mean, under Littlepage's watch, Virginia hired Bronco Mendenhall and was willing to pay him $3.5 million. Under his watch, Virginia built a $13 million indoor practice complex. And on his watch, Virginia put in place plans for a $50 to $60 million football support facility. Well, now Williams wants to not only take that football support complex to the finish line and get the fundraising done for that, but she wants to do more immediate things, such as fund a bigger strength and conditioning staff, which she already has, and to double the staff from 3 to 6 of the analytics team within the football staff, which relieves coaches from a lot of borderline tedious film work and doing cut-ups and such and evaluating high school tape. So those are the things that she has really dived in on immediately, and I think Bronco Mendenhall is probably out of sight of cameras and notebooks doing cartwheels down the hallway.
And to Virginia Tech, their side of things, not only winning the Commonwealth Clash, but seemingly making good improvements and strides in facilities with Whit Babcock. Is this starting to round into form the way most people expected with his fundraising background?
Well, I think they have more to do, and especially on the fundraising side with the Drive for 25, due in part to accounting, but also because of with Babcock's willingness to spend. Virginia Tech operated in the red this past fiscal year, and he aims to change that. It wasn't a drastic shortfall by any stretch, but like every other major college athletics department, Virginia Tech is in need of more money. And that's where the ACC Network needs to pony up once it launches a little more than a year from now. And that's where donors have to contribute more.
David, thank you. Appreciate your time as always.
Absolutely, guys. Happy to do it. Appreciate you having me.
Always fun. We look forward to doing it again. Thanks, man. Enjoy your rest of your week.
Sure will. You guys do the same now.
David Teal, Hall of Famer. Legendary columnist, Newport News Daily Press. He's too modest to say so, but he's the man.
Gold standard, Rich.
You won't stop. You're just going to keep going, aren't you?
Keep gushing. Praise upon praise.
Keep heaping praise upon David Teal. He deserves it.
I said, why not?
525. Quick break. Coming back, Doc Emmerich. Talked to him a little earlier today. We'll replay that. We'll get into a little bit NBA. Plenty more to do. Stay tuned.